Well, I suspect you realize we're doing one more night with the names of God. And I'm sure I don't need to ask anyone about these three words. We're very well versed in them now, aren't we? We know that the word God in the Hebrew, Elohim, talks about his power. Did I hear power? Yes. Whew. And then Adonai talks about how he is our master. Thank you, Leanne. I'm sure there's plenty more out there. And then when we look at Jehovah, it looks about how we have what type of God? I heard a blur there. Jenny? Eternal. Yeah, everlasting, eternal, the self-existing one. And so they are the three main names for the Lord. There are other names. We're just going to look at three tonight. And they are more compound names where we have the name with another name joined onto it to tell us a little bit more about him. And it'll make sense, I'm sure, as we go through. And so let's pray and then we'll have a look at these three names tonight. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are the Elohim, the Adonai, Jehovah God. And Lord, we thank you that we can have you as our God. We can worship you, the one that created Adam and Eve, the one that saw the faith of Abraham and counted that for righteousness, the one that saw Moses and used him in such a wonderful way, the one who loved David and made many promises to him as king, and throughout the ages to sending your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that this is the same God that we worship tonight. And Lord, as we reflect upon your name and various aspects of it, pray that it will be just another reminder of how great you are and how blessed we are to have you as our God. And we pray and commit this night to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The next name that I'd like to look at tonight is the name El Shaddai. And I'd like us to turn to Genesis chapter 17 to have a look at this name, El Shaddai. Exodus chapter 17. And I'd like to read verses 1 to 8. And this will be a good Bible reading for us anyway. It says in chapter 17, verse 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I'll make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. And I'll make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I'll give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And so we read here of how God appeared to Abraham when he was 99 years old and spoke to him, and in this made at this time made many promises to Abraham, told him that he would be a father of many nations. And that in itself was an amazing promise in that he had a wife who was barren. It says that he would be exceedingly fruitful. He would make nations and kings from him, and that he would give him the land of Canaan. And so he made some special promises, promises that to all human reasoning would have been nigh impossible. But we see here that when God comes to him, he comes in the name of El Shaddai. It says there in verse 1, I am the Almighty God. In Hebrew, it is I am El Shaddai. The word El is, which we have learnt, the singular form of God. And the word Shaddai is Almighty. And so God came to him and he says, I am the Almighty God. There's nothing too hard for me. I know the promises that I'm just about to make to you, Abraham, seem amazing and so hard to comprehend, to see that that would be a reality. But understand that I'm coming to you as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 35, we see that God makes similar promises to Jacob. And here he comes in with the same name as well, showing him that he is the Almighty One that can do and keep his promises. In Genesis chapter 35, we read in verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padam Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And be called, and he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, or I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land, and so on. And so here God says, I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel. Nations are going to come out of you. Kings will come from you. I'm going to give you this land that I promised to Abraham. And he does all these in the name of the Almighty God, or El Shaddai. And the name El Shaddai gives us the idea that God has power, yes, but he has power to fulfill his promises. That's the idea here. Abraham, it seems hard, yes. Even though your wife is barren, yes, but there are going to be multitudes come from your loins. Kings, nations. Jacob, the same, remember, because I am El Shaddai. Now turn over to Exodus chapter 6. And here we see when God is talking to Moses. Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. It says, the Lord said unto Moses, in verse 1, and then he says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And so we see here that up until this time, that's how the patriarchs understood and knew God, as El Shaddai, this name here. But he had other names as well that he introduced and revealed. And so they didn't know him as Jehovah, but they certainly knew him as El Shaddai. And that's still a very good name to know God by. You know, sometimes we sin because we doubt God in keeping his promises. We doubt his ability to be in control, his ability to use circumstances for his glory, his ability to keep his promises. He made promises to Abraham, to Jacob, and so on, in the name of El Shaddai, the one who is almighty. And often we forget that he's made promises to us to save. We doubt that. The promise to help, the promise to keep, the promise to give victory, and so on and so on. It is good to remember that we have El Shaddai as our God. Often we're not as faithful as Abraham and those men of faith. You know, when we turn to the New Testament, we understand that we can have this faith and this victory, understanding that we have an almighty God that can do all things. We're reminded in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." This is when talking about the coming of the Saviour. In Philippians, we're told, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, the thing is, if it is Christ who strengthens and he's anything but El Shaddai, that's not very good. But the good news is that we learn from the New Testament that Jesus is the El Shaddai of the Old Testament. In Revelation, if we look at there, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail before him, even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is, and which is to come." Now, he is the Almighty, Jesus. He is the El Shaddai of the Old Testament. And so we have that privilege to know him by this name. I was only thinking when I was going over this morning again, that song in Sunday school, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do." We sing it and we think, oh, what a lovely little song for children to sing. But this is talking about the El Shaddai. My God is so big and strong and mighty. And when we trust and believe that, we can have the faith of Abraham and the patriarchs that he will keep his promise. And so that's the first one, El Shaddai. Second name, there's another one there. Well, we can skip that now. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Obviously, this is a compound with the word Jehovah rather than the Hebrew word El. It's only mentioned once. It's found in Genesis chapter 22, if you'd like to turn there, please. In Genesis chapter 22, we read of this familiar story, verses 1 and 2, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of." And so we have this story that we're all well known by. We all understand. And how Abraham took Isaac to that mountain, and there they had wood and they had fire, but they didn't have a lamb. And we understand that Isaac cottoned on to this, and he understood that it was a little bit strange, because we read in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." And so he said here that God will provide a lamb. And we know that when they went up on top of the mountain, they placed the wood there on that altar. And then Abraham took his son and laid him on that altar, and he was about to take his life. And then God called out to Abraham, and we read there in verse 13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And so, in respect of God's provision, Abraham calls that mountain Jehovah Jireh. And if you know the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And this is what it's talking about here. The word Jireh means to see. But it's not just to see and see everything. There's another Hebrew word for that. This is to see so that you may provide. It's the same word that's used there in verse 8, where Abraham said, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And that same word is translated provide there, my provider, but it really means to see in order to provide. And so Abraham names the mountain Jehovah Jireh as a memory of how God provided for him. And this story of Abraham and Isaac is really a picture of what was going to take place many years later. And scholars believe it's the same mountain where of Calvary where Jesus was crucified. Now, if that is or not, I believe it is. But there's that picture of God providing for those in need. Jehovah Jireh saw the state of mankind and how they had sinned and they needed a Savior. And so He provided the Savior for us. Where we read, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. And God provided His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. I was thinking, I shouldn't have done this name. I should have kept it for the Christmas service. Jehovah Jireh. God sees and He provided His Son for us. Anyway, I'm going to have to think of something else now instead. But I don't think, as we consider God as Jehovah Jireh, our provider, it finishes at redemption. He hasn't changed or stopped from being Jehovah Jireh. He sees our needs and He provides in His perfect will. Nothing goes unseen. Nothing happens to us without Him knowing. And in knowing that, He also provides those things that we need. You know, as parents, you like to see the needs of your children and you like to provide them as much as you can. But as good as a parent as you may be, you don't see everything, do you? And you don't provide everything maybe that you even need to. But you can't keep a watchful eye seeing and what they need and providing at just the right time. You know, I was just thinking, this is probably a little bit off the side, but thinking of those days when our kids were young and you take them to the park and you want to keep a watchful eye over them to make sure nothing happened to them. And sure enough, the moment you just look away for a moment, that's when someone walks in front of them or they walk in front of the swing and hits them and they get knocked over or someone trips them over. And just when you take your eyes off them, something happens. We try as parents to watch and provide protection or whatever it may be, but we certainly don't do it all the time. Yet we have a God who sees and provides. As we're reminded in Luke 12, Jesus was saying that He sees the sparrows and the ravens and He provides for them. And we are far more important than these things. Our Heavenly Father sees and provides. And we have these verses, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, He provides our needs. And we have this psalm in 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Brethren, we can rejoice that we have a Jehovah Jireh. He's watching over us. He sees and he provides what we need. Now, there is another one, and this is the last one. I don't want to get your hopes up, but I think we're going to have an early night tonight. I haven't actually ever timed this. Now, Jehovah, now I'm calling it Sitkanu. I think it's a silent T, all right? Sitkanu. But if we had an Arab here, or a Jew, they would probably tell us that we're way off. Jehovah Sitkanu. No, we won't do it. It means righteousness anyway. Okay? Righteousness. And it is found in that beautiful passage in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness." Jehovah Sitkanu. And undoubtedly this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this name speaks about his righteousness and how he is just and right in all of his dealings with mankind. In the future, when he's reigning, they will know him as this. But we understand that Jesus is now righteous and will be continually righteous in every single way. Now, when I consider how Jehovah, our Lord, is righteous, there are two wonderful ways that I see the righteousness come out. The first one is we know how that his judgment will be right. That is how we see him in his righteous acts. In Psalm it says, "The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked." We understand that he deals righteously. The wicked will not get away with their wickedness. He will deal with them. And justice will be done. Told in Psalm 9:7, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." And so we understand that God will judge fairly in all of his righteousness. And that goes for us and our dealings with him as well. We can be sure that our God will be fair and do what's right for us in his dealings. Never, when we know the full picture, could we ever brand God as being unjust. When we know all the behind the scenes things of his dealings, and I suspect in glory that will be revealed, we will know that he is truly a righteous God. And let's be reminded, when we think things may seem unfair, let's remember that we have a God of righteousness. It says, "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" We have a righteous judge. That's the first aspect of seeing him as our Jehovah, or the Lord, our righteousness. But from Jeremiah, I believe we also get from this that our righteousness comes from him. He We are righteous due to His righteousness. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." And so He made it possible for us to be righteous. If He wasn't righteous, we couldn't be righteous. But because He is righteous in all His ways, when we are in Him, we are righteous as well. And so we have Christ's righteousness. And we should remember and never forget, this is the only way that we can be righteous in the sight of God. It is by that imputed righteousness that we enjoy. It's not by how many books of the Bible that you can memorize, or how often you read your Bible, or how long you pray for, or how long you've been a Christian. The only reason God the Father looks at us and He sees righteousness is because we are in Him who is righteous. If we turn to Philippians, it'd be good to just consider what it says there in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. Paul, the apostle, says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You see, we have Jehovah Sitkanu, which is Lord, our righteousness. And when we are in Him, we enjoy His righteousness. And that's what Paul celebrated and rejoiced over, that I have the righteousness that is of Christ, not of the law, but of Christ, because I am in Him. And so there's three names that we can be thankful for. El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees and provides. And Jehovah Sitkanu, the one who is righteous and makes us righteous. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. One day we will see Your righteousness in all its glory. And we will marvel that You would want to have anything to do with us, sinners undone. Yet, Lord, then we will praise You when we stop and see the righteousness that we enjoy through You, being in You. And thank You for what You have done for us. And Lord, I know that at the moment it doesn't seem, we don't seem to be righteous, yet Lord, we thank You that when You look upon us, You see the righteousness of Your Son. And it's because of this we can come boldly before Your throne, not as sinners, but as Your children, the righteous ones. And I pray that, Lord, we will meditate upon these things and just consider how thankful we should be because of who You are and what You've done for us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.